worship the Lord a bit tonight. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Is there anybody here with a little burden tonight? Anybody here with a heavy load? Why don't we just push it off and let it fall and let's worship the Lord together. Let's do that. Kind of shrug it off. Let's lift our hands and give Him some praise and worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you're feeling better, I can tell it. Worship Him some more. Give Him some praise this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. Just remain standing for a little bit longer, if you will. I came in, ran into Brother Meyer out there, and I asked him to pray for me. Once in a while, a preacher gets a message that he himself doesn't understand what he's trying to say. And you know what? If I don't know where I'm going, I won't know when I get there, and we might be here half the night. But I do feel like I have some things on my mind. So I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I have a thought that I think will fit most everybody here. My thought is more than you have ever had. How many of you would like to have a touch from God tonight? Worship leaders were just singing, I want a vessel you can flow through. And I'm just giving you the privilege of moving with the Holy Ghost tonight, challenging you to obey the Spirit when it moves upon you. You can stand up, you can wave your hands, you can jump, you can shout, you can worship any way you want to tonight. How about that? I know it's Wednesday and I know you're tired and you've already worked 3 days, but let's just relax in the Spirit tonight. Let the Lord move upon us. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. All right. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be, read it with me, filled with all the fullness of God. Let's read it again, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. How many would love to know that was prayed for you? Well, it was. And it's applicable to each one of us today if we can receive it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And I'm going to read this. I don't want you to close your Bibles. I want you to read it Follow along with it as I read it again in modern English. Go back to verse 14 where Paul is telling the church at Ephesus that he's going to pray for them. And this is what modern English says about it. I want you to listen closely as you follow. My response to this cause is to get out on my knees before the Father, this magnificent God, the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth are named. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not brute strength, but glorious inner strength, that Christ may live in you and you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Hallelujah. But it doesn't stop there. Let me read the rest. God can do anything, you know. Anybody here believe that? That's what it translates. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God down through all generations. Glory to God through all millennia. Oh, yes. Woo! I think that deserves a shout, huh? Let's shout together. Woo! Amen. Praise God. Praise God. As I've already said, and you already know, this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church as he implored God to give the members of God's church more than anything they'd ever had. Actually, in my mind, that was probably because they apparently had never fully realized just how much the Spirit of God could do for them. Got very quiet there. I wonder if we are guilty of that. Have we ever really plumbed the depths of how much God could do for you if you really turn those things over to him? Think about it a little bit. It's worth meditating on. But notice what he prayed for them. He got a little specific, put some extra words in there, but this is what he was asking. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. How rich is God? According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you may be able to know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, Paul would not have prayed for these things for the church at Ephesus if they had not needed them. And he would not have prayed for them if those things had not been available to them. Revelation chapter 2 tells us of the condition of this Ephesian church. Starts off with commending them for their many Christian virtues, but it also tells them that they'd fallen. And God was calling them to repent and do the first works, because thou hast left thy first love. Apparently, they'd lost their vision for the work of God and had become judgmental. And Jesus Christ, through his angel, was trying to get their attention. Now, just like Ephesus, in our chaotic world, with all the violence and immorality surrounding us, we're still in need of more of God than we have ever had. Well, Brother Russell, we have the Holy Ghost. Yes, we do. Still need more of him. Well, I've had the Holy Ghost 50 years. Well, so have I, but I still need more of him, okay? When I walk out into this chaos that surrounds us, I need all of God and then some, okay? I need all that he can give me. Amen. Here is the secret for getting more. If you want more of God than you've had in the past, then give God more of you. If you want God to do more for you than you did, than he's done in the past, then do more for God so that he can do that. And if you want God to be more alive in your life, then let God live more in your life. Amen? Makes sense? Back in the 1970s, the United Pentecostal Church was still relatively small in number. In fact, checking the World Book Encyclopedia had estimated our number at that time at about 500,000 people. But at that time, our faith was very expansive, and we were preaching. We knew we had a handle of truth. Can you say amen? And we were believing God for worldwide revival, for a revelation of that truth to the whole wide world. We were already seeing growth in many of our mission fields worldwide and in some of our larger churches, so we had faith in God for the growth that was coming. And we were believing God would give us more than we had ever had. And many, many more people could be reached before it all ended. And it has happened. It has happened. We are no longer living in the 70s. This is 2016, and our United Pentecostal churches have, over the last 50-plus years, seen explosive growth. Many of our churches here in America have built buildings that hold thousands, and they are filled with crowds on a regular basis. This year, and I'm telling you some things you already heard about and already know, but I'm making some points here. This year we filled a Coliseum with over 19,000 young people. Just the youth, not children nor not many adults in Oklahoma. Two years ago, a news reporter, wasn't a district official, wasn't district leaders, the daily newspaper in Alexandria, Louisiana, estimated around 20,000 people visited the 100th anniversary of the Louisiana camp meeting. Now, they didn't stay all week, and they weren't all there every night, but they visited at some time during that week. We are not inconsequential anymore. We never have been. According to our numbers, it didn't seem very impressive. But I want to tell you, we are coming right down close to the end. Amen. Amen. I know that's old news, but we need to be reminded of it every now and then. Amen. Brother Jack Cunningham, preaching at Louisiana Camp last month, gave a startling and yet exciting comparison between the book of Acts and the present time. He reminded us that the events of Acts covered approximately 30 years. The signs and wonders and miracles were spread out over those 30 years, and I am sure there were many more unreported miracles and signs and wonders that weren't recorded in the Bible. Brother Cunningham then described and showed a video of a Pentecostal conference in the Philippines where a crowd estimated at 35,000 gathered together, and at the close of the meeting, 5,000 people were filled with the Holy Ghost. One conference. Hallelujah. 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 Then Brother Cunningham described and showed a video of a Pentecostal of a Thailand conference where somebody was wheeled into the back in a wheelchair, and he was a disabled man who, as the conference progressed, when the faith was built of the people that were there, came out of that wheelchair and danced down the aisle, totally healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He videoed that too. He played that while he was preaching. Brother Cunningham, as he was telling it was very powerful. Now listen, both those events occurred in the same month, February 2016. Wasn't spread over many years. This is the day we're living. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Anything can happen today. Amen. Amen. I could come before you and tell you of wonderful happenings in the past. I choose not to go there. I am telling you what is happening among Pentecostals right here, right now. And my challenge to you is stop doubting if you have doubts and keep believing. I am urging you to believe that it can happen and it will happen if we let our faith loose and keep praying and fasting and worshiping and singing and praising. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Help me believe. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. This proves that when you can find and follow a genuine move of the Holy Ghost, the miracles and signs and wonders of that early church can be renewed over and over and over again right here, right now. Amen. I have an illustration here I'm going to tell you about. Maxie Dunham is a Methodist pastor from Memphis, Tennessee, or from the Memphis, Tennessee area. And he wrote a book, and I can't give you the name or whatever. I just wrote a quote out of it that caught my attention that tells of the hunger for God that's in the world we live in. He was writing to his evangelical people. He's a Methodist. And he had this to say about the first verses of Acts 19. And I quote, "Why is it that we barely, if at all, get beyond the passion and death of Jesus Christ? Why do we hang back, refusing to move on to resurrection and Pentecost? Read the New Testament. In there, Christians are promised fire, not a feeble flicker, light, blazing light. Not dim, like that of a city set on a hill. Joy, not momentary happiness, but abiding joy, which flows from the satisfaction of our hungering and thirsting for God. And radiant excitement, like that of a man finding a treasure hidden in a field." Are we reaching for that kind of an experience, folks? Let me urge you, there, wherever you are in your walk with God, there is more for you. Amen. If you've been believing God for healing, keep believing. Amen. Keep believing. If you've been needing deliverance, believe that God will deliver you. He will. Amen. If you've been bumping up against closed doors, pray and believe, and God will open the door. This is the world we're living in. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. My wife and I bumped into a couple last Saturday and got talking about church and wound up inviting him to a Jubilee service, and I had the dates mixed up. I told them it was last Sunday night, and they showed up here Sunday with their pastor and his wife. And I apologized and explained that it's not till next week, and they told us they would be back next week. So there's a couple, they're an older couple, with their pastor and his wife. There's a pastoral contact. And over the time, in recent time, the last year or so, I met a neighboring pastor to where we're living over there. And I visited with him a couple of times. My wife and I have visited with he and his wife a little bit. Am I trying to be converted? No. I'm trying to reach people when the occasion presents itself. Amen. I'm just a little bit tired of hearing whole congregations and even multi-church organizations coming to the truth in places like Africa and South America and the Philippine Islands when I want to see something happen here. How about that? Amen. How many times have we hesitated to talk to somebody because they're not Pentecostal? If they're not Pentecostal, they should be. Oh, didn't get the first amen on that. Is this the truth, folks? This is truth. It's not out there. It's in here. Amen, amen. Let's thank God for the truth. Lift your hands and thank Him for the truth. Amen, amen, amen. I'd like to tell Reverend Dunham that I hear his hunger. And especially for him, I'd like to assure him that there's still more for him. But I want to dig a little deeper tonight, and I want to speak into the hearts and lives of everybody in this congregation and emphasize to you, wherever you are, no matter how long you've been living for God, there's actually still more for every one of us, more than we have ever had. How many of you can remember when you received the Holy Ghost? Oh, yeah, you'll never forget that. Listen, there's something more for you. Come on, folks. To think that's enough is to limit the power of God. And we should not limit Him. Take the limits off tonight. Amen. Let's believe that God put the neighbors in our neighborhood close by so we could reach for them. Let's believe that God put that church down the street where it is so we could say something to them about this beautiful truth. Listen, I've been around a long time, and I believe this tonight more than anything else in my body. With every sinew of my body, I believe this is absolute truth. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a young Jewish man that toured the Middle East, and he wrote several books about the Bible history, where God was born, and traveling Moses travels following the four books of the Bible. And I got the books and I read about it. And yes, he's Jewish. No, he's not Christian. He's not Pentecostal. But I'll tell you what, he said things that only thing that it did for me is to validate what I already knew. And all of his liberal inclinations went out the window, and I just hung on to every fact he put down there, because everything he uncovered, architectural findings, in actual walking the paths, everything he found made me surer than ever that the Bible I believe in is true, every last word of it. And I'm not changing it. All it did was make me stronger in my faith. I believe that he's coming back for a church, and I want to be part of it. Amen? Let's give him praise tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we are promised in our scripture text that we can be filled, say it with me, filled with all the fullness of God. Now, we all know that our human bodies cannot contain all of God's fullness, but we can receive it to its full measure, the full measure of our capacity to handle it, and to the fullest degree of our yieldedness to Him. Not only that, but the next verse tells us something else we desperately need to know. Amen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Do you understand what that is? According to the power that worketh in us. It's not limited. It's there. How much? Full. More than that. Abundant. More than that. Exceeding abundantly. Above or way beyond all that we ask or think. The phrase exceeding abundantly means superabundant. It means extraordinary. It means supernatural. It means overflowing. It means above the greatest abundance. In other words, it's more than we have ever known. I'm telling you, nobody here has ever plumbed the depths of God's love. Nobody here has ever called on Him for impossibilities that He can't handle. Nobody here has ever made it tough on Him. Come on, God wants to do some things we can't even think, we can't imagine, we can't grasp. He wants to do it for us. He wants to do something in your life. Everybody said, in my life. Oh, yes, it's possible. He does the impossible. He's known for miracles. He wants to do something for you. Let's let him build our faith to where he can. Amen. Lift your hands again and give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Let me give you the Living Bible's translation of this verse, these verses. God's mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Wow, that's unlimited, folks. We can't even grasp that. In other words, turn your mind loose and begin to meditate about the wildest and most unbelievable thing you can think of. And begin to believe that God is able to do more than that. Not just that, more than that. According to the power that worketh, continues to work in us. What would happen if we would really turn our faith loose to the degree that we could believe that God's going to perform great works around among us right here and right now? Does anybody here hear what I'm saying? Amen. There is always more, more than we have ever had. We know that a disappointed Jesus sent a letter to this very church, the church in Ephesians, in the second chapter of Revelation. And in that letter, he's commending them on a multitude of necessary items, but he's also calling them to repentance, because thou hast loved thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love, pardon me. Then apparently he gave up ever getting to the more, this church had apparently given up ever getting to the more abundance that Paul is pleading for in the book of Ephesians. After a while, and we can get there if we're not careful. After a while, the Ephesian church had apparently talked themselves out of wanting any more or getting any more and drifted into a stagnant, stale Christianity, satisfied with only talking about former days, as if it were a long ago and far away happening, no longer available to them. Years ago, when I was a relatively new convert and had married my wife, and Vicky was with us, our family was part of a small church in rural Louisiana, pastored by a very godly elder, Brother Elmer Douglas. I was relatively new, as I said, and I was wrestling with living this new changed life. And yes, I had some questions about shortcomings among the various church members that I could see. And he made a statement that he felt explained the problems I was having. He said it this way: I believe that God has a true church within the visible church you see, and only God knows who they are. Think about that. Think about that. Now think about this. Where are we? Which group am I in? Help us, Lord. God is not willing that any be lost. He wants you in the church. Amen. He really, really does. Amen. Later on, after I had meditated on, thought about that little statement for a long time, I realized that what he was talking about was the difference between the secular and the sacred. Much of the church world makes a big distinction between these two. The secular is Monday through Saturday. The sacred is most of the time, except for weddings and funerals, limited to Sunday. You know what? We can all talk God talk, sing God songs, experience sermons on Sunday. The other days, the rest of the week, the world says, the church world says, is theirs to talk about personal subjects and anything from sports to selfish accomplishment, where we work, what are we going to eat, where are we going to go this weekend? What party there is down the street, across town? Secular and sacred. again, being apostolic, when we go back to the New Testament, we can find no such distinction. The Bible doesn't distinguish that. We're instructed to receive the Holy Ghost. We're instructed to stay full of the Holy Ghost. We're instructed to follow Jesus Christ. We're instructed to be continuously led by the Spirit. We're told to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. We're told to reject the demands of the flesh, to ignore the call of the world, to resist the devil all the time, every hour, every day. Amen? Jesus Christ wants to wake all of us up to the possibility that you shouldn't be happy where you are when there's so much more for us. More than we have ever had is available to us. More love, more joy, more power, more life. And all of this comes through a right relationship with our God. Jesus' instruction to the people of his day was to give to God the things that are God's. This had nothing to do with secular and sacred. Didn't have anything to do with flesh and spirit, spiritual and material, godly and ungodly. What he is saying is give yourself to God. After all, we're the ones made in his image, right? Amen. And he will give you so much more if you do that, more than we have ever had. He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 5:17, where all things become new. John 10:10, Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and finish it with me, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. So just how do we plug into more than we have ever had? Well, it takes discipline. I had an experience years ago that I feel like passing it on to you right now. I am just a natural man. It's an ordinary guy. I wake up some mornings not wanting to get out of bed. Oh, I guess I'm the only one here that has that problem. And if I, when I make myself get up, I don't want to do anything. When I don't want to do anything, well, you know what? I'm retired. I don't have to. But that's not the solution. I've had that problem a long time. Anybody know what it means to be a little depressed? A little discouraged? A little bit down? I have the antidote. When I put my feet on the floor, I start thanking God. Hallelujah. Because listen to me, there's always something to thank God for. Amen. 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 If you live through the night without being awakened and disturbed and upset about something, you ought to thank God for that. Amen. My wife and I over the years have had too many of those midnight phone calls. They're not fun. They'll ruin your sleep, tell you disappointing news, all that kind of stuff. But if you get out of that bed in the morning and start walking toward wherever you're going and begin to thank God, just lift him up in praise, thank him, praise him, hallelujah, he will lift that cloud off of you and he'll give you strength for the day. In fact, if God doesn't give us strength for the day, we're lost. Come on, amen? Come on, let's give him credit. Let's give him glory. Let's magnify him. Let's give him praise. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. 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 I assure you, from putting it to work time after time after time, it will work. Put it to work tomorrow. Amen. When you start thanking him, first thing you know, you're feeling his presence. And when you start feeling his presence, repent. Because none of us are perfect. We've all said things, done things, acted bad, you know, somewhere along the line, previous day, last night, whenever. Repent. Amen. You say, where are you going? This is old stuff. It's forever new because it's always every day needed. Amen. Amen. And then when you repent, you know what? You're going to feel His Spirit. You're going to feel His presence. You're going to feel a whole lot better with the Spirit of God active in your life than you did before. And again, that cloud will still be lifting. I want to tell you, before you get your coffee and sit down and start reading the Bible, you're going to feel so good you won't even think about how you felt when you woke up. Amen? Come on, folks. Let's turn this thing around. God wants to give us more than we have ever had. He wants to change our lives and point us in the right direction. He wants to go with us every step of the way. I'm not going to fall in that sacred, secular trap and think I can just do anything I want to do all week and go to church on Sunday and it's all right. That don't work, never has, never will. That's the problem with the religious world today. They can't resist the devil. They don't have the strength, but we do. We do, hallelujah. Give Him praise for it today. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Remember His Word. Read the Bible. Say, where are you going to read anything, anywhere? If the Holy Ghost is guiding you, you'll read something that will strengthen you. I don't know how many days in the middle of the day I realized that God, through reading His Word, instructed me, told me what to do. Amen. In fact, I was remembering an elder in our church just yesterday, I think, Brother Bill Sapp. Brother Sapp never finished high school, but he went to work when they constructed one of the big refineries out in Billings. Billings has three of them, and he worked on one of those refineries, and the management noticed his skill level and the fact that he was handy with tools and all the things he could do, so they offered him a permanent job, which was unheard of. Most of the time they require at least a high school. Most of the time these days it's college plus. But anyhow, he went to work for him, not knowing what he was doing. But he was open to training. They trained him. And then they'd send for him when they had a problem. And he would go look the problem over. He said, man, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know the technicalities of it. But he said, I'd go home. I'd tell him, well, I'll have to think about this. He said, I'd go home and lay down at night. And I said, now, God, you know the problem. You know how it works. Tell me what to do. And he said, every time in the middle of the night, God would wake him up and tell him what to do. And he became the number one troubleshooter in the whole refinery. Call Bill. You say, oh, that won't happen. Oh, yes, it will. If you're walking in the Holy Ghost, if you're following God, He'll tell you what to do and show you how to do it. Hallelujah! Come on, let's give Him praise. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Then as you're working through your day, as you're going, getting ready to go to work and drive into your job or wherever, consciously build the air of expectancy around you. Look for positive things. Expect miracles. Amen. If you're really talking to God, He can open ways through jam traffic. He can keep you safe year after year. I drove over from Sun Prairie to the church Tuesday morning. Scott and Vicky drive that road, that two-lane highway every time they go to church, come to church almost every time. And I was reminded, it was a rush hour, early morning, traffic, cars coming from everywhere, going everywhere. And it dawned on me again, something I hadn't heard for a while. Every time you meet a car on a two-lane highway, you're 18 inches away from a crash. Maybe death. And I began to thank God for keeping His hand on my family all these years, okay? And I'll tell you what, if you drive safely across Madison during rush hour. You need to thank God when you get at work. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You just need somebody to assure you, and I can assure you, everything's going to be all right. I want to tell you, you may be in a crisis right now. I want to assure you, it's not a surprise to God. He already knew that was going to happen, and he's going to work it out for you. If you'll just start thanking him, asking him, he'll tell you what to do, how long to do it, where to go, how to handle it. It'll all work out. We're children of God. We don't back up from anybody. Let me change that last statement. We don't need to back up from anybody, all right? Praise God. Praise God. Oh, let me tell you. We can't explain everything that comes our way. I can't explain it. But you know what? You don't really need an explanation. What you really need is a promise. Hallelujah. And I'm personally living on the promise of the soon coming, the return of Jesus Christ. And I speak from my spirit to your spirit today and tell you that you really don't need an explanation for life. You can't live on explanations. You can't even live if you understand it all, which you don't. Lord, just give us some promises. God, you know what's going on in our lives. You understand it. Simply because of this, you can live in hope on promises. I'm living in the hope that whatever it is that I'm going through, it'll one day come to an end, because he promised one day he's going to wipe all the tears from our eyes. He's going to heal our broken bodies. He's going to take us home to be with him. And I want to go. I don't like this old world. I'm not going to stay down here. Amen. Amen. And I can live on that promise, and you can live on that promise. Amen. And my cry right here, right now, tonight is, even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. Let's say it together. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Yes. Hallelujah. Listen to me this evening. I know you may be sick. I don't know why you're in pain or in crisis. I don't know why your parents or your loved one is suffering. I don't know why your blood pressure is out of whack. I don't know why your arthritis hurts so much. I just don't know why. I don't have the answer to that. But I do have a promise for you. I'm living on the promise. Jesus promised us in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's a promise that you can live on. And you don't need an explanation to understand that. Wherever you are, sitting in the dentist chair, waiting room, wherever you are, he's with you. He said he will always go with us everywhere. Amen, amen. So what will he do? He can do anything. He can do anything. He can heal you. He can deliver you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The promise is he is ready to give us more than we have ever had. More than we have ever had. That's a promise from the Bible. And let me tell you, it has your name on it. Claim it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, God's in the house tonight. Let's entertain his presence. Let's entertain his presence. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for all you do. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I got one more illustration that's just a little bit lengthy. And I'm not asking for forgiveness. I'm telling you, I think it means something to you like it meant to me. It has a little bit of history, and then it, more than a little bit, actually, and it has some encouraging words. Eugene Peterson grew up Pentecostal, one that wrote the message. His mother was the first Pentecostal evangelist in western Montana. She preached on street corners of those small towns, went up and down the streets praying with people, anybody, wherever and whenever the opportunity permitted. Thus, he grew up a believer in receiving the Holy Ghost. Without a doubt in my mind, and I have no validation for it, but at some point, I believe in his childhood or his youth, he must have received the Holy Ghost. However, when he felt God's direction to prepare for a Christian ministry, the opportunity to attend a Northeastern denominational seminary caught his attention. He chose to get his higher education there. While he was getting educated, he delved deeply into the original biblical languages and became both a scholar in Hebrew and Greek and then a professor teaching them. In fact, after graduating, he was immediately hired to teach both those biblical languages on the college level. Then after a few years of teaching, he received an invitation to pastor a congregation on the East Coast. Again, mainline denomination, not Pentecostal. That's where he lived, and he pastored that same congregation for 30 years. And it was there that he noticed that people were no longer interested in reading the Bible, simply because they had a hard time understanding the ancient English in which it was written. So for the next 10 years of his life, he went back to ancient Greek and Hebrew and translated the Bible into what he called the street language of today, a language everyone could understand. That work became what we know as the Message. I'm not recommending it as the Word of God, and he didn't either, by the way. He just wanted people to read the Bible and to understand it. But then, several years ago, he joined a tour group to the Holy Land. We spent a limited time in the city of Jerusalem. Now, his main goal going to Jerusalem was not to climb the Temple Mount or see any of the sites that other tourists wanted to see, but he wanted to visit the Wailing Wall, the remaining stones of the temple where the Jews and Christians gathered to pray. Yet, for some reason, mainly because of his limited time, he was having a hard time finding that wall. It wasn't on the tour, part of the tour guide, and the tour guide didn't know where it was, and he kept looking for it. Finally, he only had one more day, and late in his last day in Jerusalem, he found it. And he wrote of that experience in one of his many books. And this is what he wrote, and I want you to stay with me here because it's profound. "The wall!" Exclamation point. I'm quoting, "A few stones in the lower part of the wall were all that remained of the vast biblical temple complex. There's a paved court area in front of the wall where people gather for prayer. For the Jews, the wall is the holiest place on earth." And then it was sundown. The signal was given. Sabbath began. I stood before the plain, unimpressive wall, deeply moved by a torrential convergence of memories. Hey, I was standing where David ruled, where Solomon built, where Isaiah preached, where Jeremiah wept. This was the place where Jesus taught, the place where he suffered, the place where he was tried, the place where he was crucified, and the place where he rose from the grave. Then, as I was meditating on these things, I became aware of some chanting in the distance behind me. I turned and saw about 300 young men, rabbinic students from the yeshiva, seven abreast, arms linked across their shoulders, singing as they moved in a rhythmic and joyful solemnity across the plaza toward the wall. When they arrived in the courtyard before the wall, they formed a large circle, and they started singing and dancing before the place of prayer. It was one of the most emotional moments of my life. At this time, he was getting older. He said, "Deep feelings of surprise intensely surged within me. It was the Jewish holy place, the wall, the Wailing Wall. It was this Jewish holy day, the Sabbath day. And it was this Jewish holy city, Jerusalem." And then he writes, it was also the throngs of holy people, every race visible. You could even hear various languages audibly. It all came together into a powerful vocal and physical expression for me in the dancing and chanting young men. The final sentence of Psalm 87 was suddenly in my mind, unquote. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. Mr. Peterson went on writing his description of demonstrative worship. And I quote, "Song and dance are the result of an excess of energy. When we are normal, we talk. When we are elderly, we shuffle along. When we are sick, we creep around. When we are dying, we whisper. But when there is more in us than we can contain, we laugh and we sing and we shout." Hallelujah. That wasn't all. He said, when there is more, or when we are healthy, we walk. And when we are beyond ourselves with energy and vitality, we laugh and we sing and we dance. Now, he referred to Psalm 87. I'd like you to follow along as we read that, starting at the first verse. It says, "His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia." Listen, this man was born there. It's just one of the few places in the Old Testament that it mentions being born and born again. Listen, verse 5, "And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee." Now, when the Old Testament speaks, especially the Psalm, speaks of Zion, it is a type of the church of God. When we look at this Psalm, we need to understand that it's talking about people who were born again. Church of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a little small church in a small town in Louisiana where I was born again. My wife was born again there. A bunch of you folks were born again here. What does it take I'm thinking about what it says about springs. All my springs are there. I wish that I could just literally put a spring under every one of you that's been born again so that you could understand what I'm trying to get across to you. God doesn't want us to come to church and sit down and fold our arms and be entertained. He wants you to know that he gave you the Holy Ghost. You were born again for a purpose. He has a toolbox full of humanity that he wants to use on this old world. He wants to appoint us as judges over the different areas of our world. He wants to use us to help him govern this old world when it's rejuvenated. Oh, that we could understand that we aren't saved just to go to heaven. We are saved to worship him and to praise him and to magnify him. And we need to be joyful enough to get up out of our seats and begin to give him the praise and the worship that he is due. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him some praise tonight. Let's worship him from the depths of our heart. Let's glorify and magnify him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We give you praise, oh God. We worship you, oh God. We lift you up, oh God. We magnify you, God. These are our springs. These are what keep us going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Listen to me. If that highly educated, distinguished, I don't know what other adjectives to use to describe Mr. Peterson, but if he was moved to tears, he saw the chanting Jewish young men. If he was deeply and profoundly moved, what should it do to us? Years ago, somebody gave my wife and I a movie on the life of Christ. And I didn't get a whole lot farther than about the first 10 minutes, because in the first 10 minutes, I saw something I had never known about before. Those priests came dancing barefooted into the temple, worshiping God with their hands in the air. That I'm talking Bible, I'm talking New Testament, I'm talking 2,000 plus years ago. And they came in there, when they came in there dancing, I looked at that and called my wife and said, "Honey, that's us. That's not just the Jews. That's us." And I got up and started praising God and worshiping God. It's for us. It's for you and me. We need to read those verses and get more than we have ever had, and reach, stretch ourselves for more than we had ever thought possible. We need to lift him up and glorify him and magnify him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Come on, keep worshiping him. Musicians can come if they want to. It doesn't matter. Amen. I want to encourage you to worship a little bit tonight. I want you to know it's not over yet. We are still his people. We're still his children. We're still magnifying God. We're still believing God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hey, alabaholia sadakaya, la salalia kariyananda, ibaholia sadakia talamusa, isadidia labosata. Come on. Come on, don't just stand still. Worship him. Let that beautiful Spirit of God flow up from deep within you and lift him up and glorify his name and magnify him and call upon him and believe him and obey him. Hallelujah. Whatever the Holy Ghost is telling you to do, do it with all your might. Hallelujah. Do it with all your strength. Put everything into it. He will bless you if you will. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't stop yet. Don't stop yet. Why don't you step out from where you are and come and walk this aisle and come down here and get together. Worship. That's it. Come on. Hallelujah. Give him praise. He loves his church. This is his home. He wants to be here. This is his throne room. Amen. Give him praise today. Glorify his name. Worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He has the answer to all your questions. He will break the yoke for you as you praise him. He will magnify. He will touch you and guide you. You'll give him a chance to do it. Oh, give him a chance. Praise him from the depths of your heart. Worship him together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He has more than you've ever had. He has more right here tonight than you have ever had. Don't just get a taste and wander home. Just give him praise. Glorify him. Lift him and worship and magnify him. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Your greatness and your grace.